We're continuing our tour of Italy, and today we're taking to the northeast and looking at the Triveneto. Like I said, I'm getting my comeuppance. The three Venetian regions are Friuli, Alto Adige, and Veneto. Specifically, we're talking about the white wines, the sparkling wines of these regions. I practiced these just before this set. To talk about this and more, we are joined, as always, by Cal Lee, resident wine nerd. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
That's good to have you on. Thanks so much for making me look like a fool immediately after laughing at Jack Kambitsky for not bringing out to pronounce our time.
It's all right. I feel like Karmic Retribution is much more efficient if played out with only a 3-song break, you know?
That's the way the universe works. Yeah, that's the way the universe operates on a 3-song break constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's get stuck into it. So what is the Triveneto region and what is the geography like?
Yeah, so what we're sort of referring to here is this northeastern corner of Italy. You know, once again, we're still sort of alpine, subalpine for a lot of this. And then we're sort of going all the way down to sort of the coastline that sort of surrounds Venice there. That's where sort of the Veneto comes from here. There are a lot of distinct wine regions and sub-regions in here. I'm not going to cover all of them today. But sort of the sort of major players here in terms of like historic stuff is going to be like your Suave, which is a white aromatic wine made from Garnega. And then your Friuliano, which is made from the grape Friuli, used to have several other names, but that's sort of broadly the accepted name now. And everyone's favorite sparkling Prosecco.
Hey.
I don't think I need to sort of go... those other two white wines are interesting, but sort of not what I want to focus on today. But Prosecco, I'm just going to give like a little quick shout out here. It is a sparkling wine region in Italy.
Shout out to Prosecco.
Shout out to Prosecco, my man. So I was pointing to the stands for listeners of this audio program.
recorded in front of a live studio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Prosecco, much like Champagne, is a protected region. Prosecco has to come from like the Prosecco regions. The grape is Galera. They're getting more and more litigious of this. So sooner rather than later, you're going to start seeing wines in Australia labeled as sparkling Galera or probably like Charmat sparkling, which is sort of the way that you make it. Where basically, instead of doing the ferment in bottles, you do it in a big pressurized tank. Kind of think of like making a beer.
Sure.
And that way you get to keep the carbonation throughout the entire process. Holds that beading a lot better. Gives you more of those fresh, bright, aromatic, sort of like green apple flavors there. But yeah. But I think the more interesting thing here is basically sort of because of the relationship between like Austria and Slovenia, and basically this whole region sort of in the 19th century was kind of HRE territory, and they spent a lot of time moving international varietals into here, and that's sort of how you get the modern day major player of the region, which is Pinot Grigio, which I know people are going to be like, not necessarily an alternate varietal, but I think it has a really interesting place here and sort of it's sort of made in a few different styles for the region.
And so I guess how are the Ramada wines different from the standard Italian Pinot Gris?
So this is sort of what I wanted to focus a little bit on today, is sort of specifically the Ramato style, which is Ramato sort of vaguely translates to copper, which is a reference to the hue there. And you see this a lot with the indigenously made wines of the region where they tend to have a bit more skin contact with them. Pinot Grigio being a pink-skinned grape or a grey-skinned grape, depending on sort of how you want to look at it, creates these wines with just a little bit of skin contact that are halfway between a rosé and an orange wine, kind of in style, because the grape is sort of halfway between a red and a white grape. And that's what we sort of refer to as these Ramato wines. You'll see them often like blended together with stuff like Robolo Giallo, Friuliano, once again, occasionally like Malvasia, Pinot Bianco, even like I've heard of Riesling being blended into these things, and they make everything from like pretty approachable sort of table wines, which are much closer to the classic Pinot Grigio. They're bright, they're fresh, they're sort of a little bit more towards the rosé side of things than they are to the crisp aromatic things. But the ones I really appreciate are sort of the ones I would say a little more rustic, a little more hands off, and they sort of turn Pinot Grigio from what can be. The reason it's so important to the region is because it produces a lot of grapes and produces a lot of wine. Veneto is like the largest producer of wine in all of Italy, and that's mainly just Pinot Grigio and Prosecco there. And I think these wines are sort of known as pretty simple, pretty one-dimensional. It's, you know, it's Pinot Grigio. You've had a Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
Or if not, like, go to any place that serves you alcohol within a 10-kilometre radius,
get a house
the cheapest bottle of white will be a Pinot Grigio.
Get a house wine from anywhere nearby.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Like, you know. And I think sort of we look down at the varietal sometimes because of it gets sort of trapped into that style. Whereas I think these Ramato wines are a really great sort of response to that, which sort of show a little bit more complexity and nuance, and don't sort of get talked about as a serious like wine style in the way in which we sort of like, there's a lot of reference for some of the skin contact wines to the south in Italy, or like the amber wines of Georgia, or all the more sort of like, you know, natural funky skin contact things that big in the market at the moment.
And are any Australian producers making this style of wine?
Totally. I mean, you know, obviously there are a bunch of Australians making Prosecco. Shout outs to my boys in the King Valley.
Not for much longer.
Yeah, not for much longer. We're going to, big Prosecco is going to put the thumb on. But no, so basically, Pinot Grigio, obviously grown all over Australia. It's very popular here. I think it suffers from a lot of similar issues as it does in northern Italy, which is to say it gets planted in a lot of regions to crop very large amounts and to be made into very simple wines, which is great for cash flow, but not particularly something elegant. But there definitely are some producers that are chasing this more sophisticated style. You're seeing more and more Pinot Grigio being used for rosés. Thinking of like the Breaking Ground Rosato made by Ollie Markin. But also you're seeing a lot more of it just done as a straight Ramato style. I'm thinking of like Vinay Marzen or like Moondara, both of whom making, I think the Vinay Marzen actually is labeled Ramato from memory, but like are making those styles. And are also, both of them are also working with these other indigenous varieties from the region, like Frulliano and stuff like that. Just one note, I was looking to see if there's any like Garnega grown in Australia so we could do a Suave comparison. Apparently, there's like one vineyard in the Barossa. I've never seen this wine. If anyone knows where who makes it or how to get it, hit me up.
It's one vine that they have planted somewhere.
I think it's like one vineyard and they just haven't shared the material out.
Sure.
You know. But yeah, if anyone knows anything about that, I'm also going to shout out my favorite red wine, which is Corvina, which is used to make Valpolicella. We're not talking about red wines today, but shout out to Freeman because they make a really, really cool Valpolicella style Corvina.
Lovely.
So
what are you drinking this week?
I'm throwing all that out. Who cares about any of these fun varietals? Because I did a tasting with Peter from Sabi Wabi yesterday.
Lovely.
And she's making some of the best Semillon in the game right now. I'm going to shout outs to the Suji Semillon. This is just the new release. It's just sort of coming through and it'll be sort of hitting store shelves and wine bars over the next couple of weeks. I think this is looking awesome. Peter's a really, really strong winemaker. She makes wine with MJ Becker wines as well. And mainly is just focusing on Semillon and Shiraz the Hunter. But I think this is a gorgeous example of sort of taking a re-examination of the style without it being... It still is obviously Hunter Valley fruit in its like acidity and its prettiness and its florality, but I think steers away from sort of what has become a very boxed-in style with the region, and is throwing around a little bit more texture, a little bit more suppleness. These wines do see a little bit of older oak just to sort of mellow them out a bit.
Sure.
And I think they're a really great example of sort of what the Hunter can do as a wine region, but often sort of gets missed for looking at the big, more traditional players in that area.
Sure, sure. And just before we wrap things up, if people listening wanted to have a go of some of these varietals that we've been talking about today, what's something that they can get a start on?
Yeah, I think Vinay Marzen would be a really good start. They're probably one of the more widely distributed. But I think if you see stuff like Alto Adige Pinot Bianco, I think that's actually a really nice place to start to sort of get you into the region. I'm going to include a couple of links to some of the wines that I've mentioned and a few other bits and pieces I didn't get a chance to talk about. Just because I think this wine style is really interesting and I think it's not sort of super transparent around sort of like what it is and sort of what's happening there. So I'll pop a couple of links in there. For some wine recs. There'll be some stuff that's a little more approachable and more easier to find, and some stuff that's going to be almost impossible to find because the Moondara website is currently down. Neil, go fix your website.
Shout out, Neil.
Yeah, shout out to Neil.
Great to have you on, as usual, Cal. Anything coming up for the rest of the week and what we're looking at next week?
Yeah. Well, I'm going up to the Hunter this weekend, lovely. So, you know, don't call me. but next week, we're going to be sort of moving down south, and we're going to go to the heel of the boot. Hey, looking at Puglia, which is definitely not how you pronounce that, but it's how I'm going to pronounce it. And checking out some of the wines there as we sort of continue through this tour of Italian wine regions.
It's Australian actor.
What?
Anthony LaPuglia.
Oh, yeah.
It's been Wine Chat.
Hey,
Cal.
We got jokes.
if you want some more of this nonsense, all you need to do is search up Cal's Wine Chat on the 2SER website, and all the backlog is there for you to listen to. Plenty of great stuff on the website there. Thank you for coming in, Cal.
Absolute pleasure.
Lovely to have you with us. We'll catch you next week.
See you next week.